In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU FM McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And always, I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your little orphan Annie decoder rings.
And as always, making sure you drink your Ovaltine in the world of comic books.
Yes.
Do you remember that was the big thing in, do you ever see that movie Christmas Story?
No.
Oh, well, in the movie Christmas Story, it's a classic Canadian directed and produced movie where, the little kid, I can't remember his name now, but...
Billy.
Ralphie. He he's waiting and waiting for his decoder ring. Finally gets it, and he gets the secret message, and, finally he's decoding it, and every ring has a different number and everything.
Uh-huh.
And the secret is, always remember to drink your Ovaltine.
Oh.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
I swear,
yeah.
I had no idea what was written.
Well, that was the joke.
Yeah.
Ha! So,
all right, Chris, hey, listen, it's great to be back. It's Wednesday. We're talking new comics.
Yes,
talking new comic book news. We're talking, anything that really has to do with comic books.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's right. This is great.
And as always, I think we're just going to dive right in because we've got lots to talk about. We're going to dive into new this week.
Is that going to be our catchphrase for today, as always? New this week is brought to you by Betty and Me number 16 because... it is the greatest comic book cover of all time. And if you say anything else, you're wrong.
You are wrong.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Of course, Betty and Me, number 16.
Yes.
Is a classic cover. And it's one of those covers. Anybody can jump on Google, just click images,
yep.
Type in Betty and Me, number 16,
yep.
And it'll come up. And, of course, it is the cover where Archie has rescued, I think it's Betty.
Yeah, you're right.
And he is carrying her out of the water.
Yes.
He just rescued her. And,
yeah.
She asks, Archie, was it hard rescuing me?
Yeah.
It hard to rescue me? And basically there's three guys in the behind that tried to rescue Betty too.
Yeah.
Right? And Archie goes, I'll say it was. I had to beat off three guys to do it. And, of course, the innuendo, the slang,
yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, I got to have this cover.
Right. So now it's sort of become popular now, isn't it? It's hard to get.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get.
And the Betty and Me's around it, are worth a dollar.
Right.
And then this sells for like $50 on eBay.
$50. That's crazy.
Insane.
And, there's a few different Archie comics that are out there, like, that are sort of hard to get. There's that one where, he's out at the jewelry store.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
He's saying he's, buying, he says, oh, I hope Veronica really likes this frisbee I got her. And Betty's like, well, I think she was expecting a pearl necklace.
Right. And, that is slang and innuendo.
Yeah,
and, everybody. He wants that book too.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Of course, that song was also done by ZZ Top.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
And so, don't count on Chris to get rid of his copies just yet.
All right. Well, listen, we do have new this week to talk about, and I thought we'd start off with the first one. From IDW is Star Trek 100 Page Giant is coming out. Well, this is great. This is amazing. It's great that IDW is still publishing. Not only are they publishing a Star Trek comic, but they're putting out these 100 pagers, which kind of harkens back to the old DC 100 pagers, and it's awesome.
Hark! Hark!
Who goes there?
It's me, a Klingon.
No, I think it's great value.
It's gonna be
awesome,
and it's great. And it's Star Trek is one of those properties. It's and you know what? You and I talk about properties per se, and how the power of the property itself,
yeah.
And its malleability into different stories, different time periods. We talked last week or so about Star Wars
yes,
doing
yes.
a Jedi origin,
yeah,
25,000
right,
years
yeah,
in, the
right, yeah.
in the past. And Star Trek is one of those properties, too, that has...
it's got a whole universe.
Yeah, it has. I mean, how many different, never mind different shows, but different kind of scenarios and scenes and times.
Yeah.
You know, like the Deep Space Nine time
right,
was different
right.
than
different
the next
eras.
Gen time,
yeah, yeah.
than the original Star Trek time. And Star Trek is one of those properties where it's the concept of, you know, the Federation and the Klingons
yep.
and the Romulans
yep.
and stuff. It's just
timeless. Just keeps on going. Keeps
and,
on going.
And,
yeah.
and people love it. And I'm so glad that IDW... has picked up the license because they seem to what the word is
they've been able to key in on what the audience wants
yeah,
as far
yeah,
as
they,
properties
they respect these,
yeah.
these properties
yeah.
that they license. They honestly do.
Well, they don't seem to take a property like because they've done great work with a lot of other properties like G.I. Joe and Transformers and Ghostbusters. And they don't sort of say, well, you know, that's great, but here's my take on the idea.
Yeah, Marvel way.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, they respect what's already been done mm-hmm. and they just sort of add to it, right? Which
yeah.
I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Up next, we now have I Am Captain America
you
number
are
one.
Not.
That's true. I am not. I'm not even close to being 6 feet tall.
Right.
Well, maybe I'm
or
close,
an American.
Or an American. Or a captain, for that
or
matter. I've never been in the Army or any kind of military. So.
Never been to sea, Billy.
That would be the Navy. But
right,
anyways,
Navy,
yeah.
Okay.
You know, so Captain America, so this is awesome. So, I mean, Captain America is near and dear to my heart. So
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of looking forward to reading all of this and taking a good look at it. And
I am looking forward to I Am Captain America.
Well, you know what? I think it's going to be a great book. Certainly, Captain. It's interesting how finally some of these other characters in the Marvel Universe are finally getting second and third titles. Because, I mean,
mm-hmm.
for how long did Spidey have four titles? And Wolverine
right.
has had, I don't know how many titles. But, you know, now more recently, some of the other characters are getting, you know, multiple titles. And they deserve them, right? Because Cap is a very recognizable character, especially now since the movie. And
What would you say at the end of the day where Cap lays now? The lay of the land. In terms of pop culture, in terms of characters, post movie, is he better off than he was before in terms of a recognizable hero for the masses?
I think so, but I don't think he's. I think number one and number two are still Spider-Man and the Hulk, right?
Right.
I think because you know, if you ask almost any, if you show a picture of almost of the Hulk to almost anybody,
mm-hmm.
they know who that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you showed a picture of Captain America to my mom, she might not know who that is, but she knows who the Hulk is.
Or even
is.
Wolverine, maybe.
Yeah, or even Wolverine, but they know who Spidey and the Hulk are, right?
Right.
So I think they're always number one and two, just like DC. I would think are number, you know, Batman, Superman, right?
Yes.
You know, people
yes.
still kind of know who Wonder Woman is, but...
And it's funny, you know what, if we draw an analogy there, I don't know if analogy is the right word, but when you're talking about, say, Batman and Superman as, like, visually recognizable characters,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you talk about Spider-Man and the Hulk as
yeah.
visually recognizable characters, the fact that they're the most recognizable doesn't transfer into them being the most popular. And I may be stepping on number two right now when I
right,
say this,
right.
but...
Like, never step in number two.
No,
it's never
no.
good.
Like Hulk isn't like even near the top echelon right now.
Oh no, no, you're right.
Yeah, and I'm gonna like as much as the new Action Comics line is doing raves and stuff. It seemed like for the last say 25 years, Superman has been it's an uphill struggle
yeah,
to
yeah.
keep him current and
absolutely,
popular. It's
absolutely,
like he's
yeah.
like an old dinosaur.
Even
that,
even though he, in like in the mid 80s and early 90s, he had he had four titles, right?
Yeah.
But you know he never had the Batman kind of qualities.
Yeah, the buzz.
Right?
There was
yeah,
never
the
excitement and
yeah.
the buzz, and he was never kind of a hip and now.
No.
Like
no,
in the last
three
decades.
But I think, you know, especially because those decades, you know, people like to call them like the dark era and that kind of thing. And Superman was never part of that. You know, that was the era when, you know, Wolverine was becoming popular. The Punisher was becoming popular.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
Lobo
right.
from
yeah.
DC
yeah.
and Deathstroke, all the characters that were all about violence and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
And Batman was getting really dark.
Was gritty.
Daredevil
yeah.
was, you know, Miller was doing weird things
yeah.
with him too.
Whereas, you know, Superman, well, he was squeaky clean Boy Scout,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So,
good point.
You know, he never really quite caught on in those eras, but anyways, Let's keep moving on here. I thought it's interesting to know. I mean, this isn't part of the our usual new this week, but you know, Dark Horse Comics has 6 titles out this week. Is that now? I'm not as well versed in the retail end of things. Mm-hmm. Is that? It seems like a low amount of comics for one of the so-called major publishers. But I don't know if you know, maybe if they're putting out six different titles a month, that means that they're publishing, you know, like, you know, well, 72 a year, right?
I could be wrong here, but I honestly think that's a strong week for them.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think 6 is a strong, because there's been times where the only thing shipping out of Dark Horse was Buffy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
or
okay.
Buffy Conan.
Right. You know, right. Or Star Wars.
Yeah. Or Star Wars. Yeah, right. Yeah. Even Star Wars seemed to have been as more sporadic than yeah. let's say like
it seems to have died off a little bit.
But 6 titles would be a strong week for them. But here it is, like, I mean, you and I, and the whole thing about these secondary companies, and you know, you talked about IDW at the beginning,
right?
And pretty well, IDW, Dark Horse, who else do we have? Maybe Image, right?
Yeah.
That can kind of say that, you know, these are, you know, major secondary customers, publishers, right?
Yeah.
They just can't seem to crack any kind of market share.
No, they really can't. Nothing of any importance anyways.
Like, you know, you're looking at properties like flipping, like with Dark Horse, you know, Buffy at one time was a top 10 monthly comic. Yeah. Conan, Star Wars, you know, they had all these great, and yet, you know, here they are with their lowly 4% of market.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, IDW with probably the same share of market, and they have like 6 or 7 great licensed franchises and stuff like
that.
Well,
yeah, and it's
amazing that they can't seem to gain momentum, and once they gain that momentum, run with it and add, you know, to get to, I don't know, 10% of the market or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the industry could use, you know, a couple of other major publishers.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. But unfortunately, it just seems like they're not, you know, as you just mentioned, they're not quite cutting it, you know, as far as trying to crack into that top, you know, 10, let alone top 100.
Right. Well, you know what? We're encouraging everybody today.
Absolutely.
Head into your local comic shop. Check to see what Dark Horse has.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, lastly, we got to talk about DC.
Yes,
and,
we do.
And, of course, this is the, you know, we're in the third month now, so it's all number threes for
third
everything.
Third trimester.
They're not pregnant, not that I'm aware of, anyways. Mm. But you know, you bring up a good point. I thought this was interesting as a quick analysis of the titles coming out from DC this week. They seems to be heavily female oriented. We've got Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Catwoman, and Birds of Prey. That's almost like all of their major female characters all coming out in one week.
You think that was a strategic plan?
I don't know. It may have been. The only one that's really missing as far as the females go is Batgirl.
Right.
And, you know, maybe they're putting that another week just for some other female thing. But
yeah, good point.
It just seems interesting that they're putting them all out in one week. Maybe this is like the woman's week to come in or something like that. Maybe that's what they're trying to push to try to get people to come
in. Fellas,
I don't know.
It's women's week.
I don't know.
It's ladies' night at your local comic book shop. Girls get in free.
And for men, there's a $2 cover charge.
And the men, there's a $2 cover charge. Women get free bag and board.
I don't know. I'm just saying that I thought it was interesting. That's all.
Right. All right. Well, you know what? You could be right. I mean, it could be something strategic. Now, I did read, you know, like last week, I think we were ragging on, what was that book? Grifter number three. Did it make number three?
Oh, Voodoo's not
Voodoo,
on this list
right.
either, yeah.
Well, I was reading something last week about DC is soliciting all the graphic novels for all 52.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there will not be any cancellations before the first arcs are done because
okay,
the graphic novels have been solicited. I'm half sure that the story arcs are done.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to start seeing cancellations, it's going to be up around the 8, 9, 10.
Right. Or even after 6 maybe or 7.
Right.
And,
after the first graphic arc, novels are done.
First arc, rather.
And you know what? I mean, we're saying cancellations, and I guess they would be cancellations. They could also be changes.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. You know, just modifications to the thing. I think DC is going to try to be very transparent and fluid with what's going on here. They're going to be honest to it and say, hey, you know what? I think we're just going to change this around. Hey, I think we're going to cancel this. And, you know, we talk about it like it's a bad thing, and I don't think we should.
Yeah, like maybe Grifter will become Grifter and the Outsiders, and he'll team up with like Metamorpho and Halo and Katana.
Or maybe he'll be like join you know, the Birds of Prey.
Maybe, yeah. Grifter and the Birds of Prey. It sounds like some sort of rock band.
It sounds like a damn monster movie. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, let's end it there and for new this week and cut it to a little bit of the old music. You know what? I know we don't play it a lot. Well, I shouldn't say that. We do play it a lot, but it's always a fan favorite. So got some of the Spider-Man TV series music going for you today.
Chris, a great tune by
Tito Puente. Isn't that who you usually like to go to? That's your go-to bongo guy.
The first time, I honestly thought it was Tito Puente.
Well, you know, you know what? For all I know, it could have been.
Yeah,
he could have been sitting in on the band that was doing this.
And Hervé Villechaize was doing the bongos.
Wasn't he the guy from Fantasy Island?
The plane, boss.
Right. Yeah, now we're just aging ourselves here.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, let's keep on going here. You know, we are going to have a new segment every once in a while now.
You were telling me about that before the show started. I'm very excited.
Our producer has been getting a lot of email these days, and so he decided to incorporate some of this email into the regular show. So we're going to call it because the show is called Comic Culture, and this is email. We're going to call this Comic Culture Mailbag.
Wait a minute. Why are we calling it Comic Culture Mailbag?
Well, because you know, remember the old days when postal carriers
the mailbag.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay. Anyways.
All right. So I have the first one here, Chris, and it reads: Chad in Van Nuys, California, asks.
Keep going anytime now.
No, I was in like at my local comic shop, and the guy in front of me gets all chatty with the girl at the till. And I'm thinking like, hey, get a room later. I got things to do. Now, I know people at comic shops like to talk to people that work there, but there should be some sort of line etiquette. Shouldn't there?
Well, you know, that's a very good point.
This is more like a rant. Than
I'm going to, yeah, you know what? This is a bit of a rant, but I'm just going to talk about this for a second.
All right, you go ahead.
You know, he has a point. This is a bit of a rant.
Yes.
But he has a point.
Yes.
He does have a point. You know, I think not only in comic book stores, but in any store, really, if you're waiting in line at the till to get served, you don't want to be behind the person that's, like, you know, talking the cashier's ear off about today's weather or, you know, whatever it happens to be, right?
Yeah, I've seen it at the shops. They'll talk like, oh, did you read the new X-Men?
Well, but even that's a little bit different. You know, I don't mind that so much. But at the same
time. Not to the guy behind him waiting. The poor Chad there has got to go.
But at the same time, the cashier should know better to hurry up the customer along and in a way sort of maneuver the customer so that they can still chat.
Oh, so now it's the cashier's fault.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the cashier's fault.
Oh, right.
Absolutely it is. The cashier really is the person that should be controlling the situation here.
She or he is in charge.
Absolutely. Right. That's right. They're the ones who are determining the speed at which people are going through the checkout counter.
Right.
So therefore, I agree with – I do agree with Chad. However, having said all this, the comic book store – does have a club type feel to it at times,
right?
Because people like to go in there and talk about comics and talk about, you know, movies and all that kind of stuff. So I can understand why you would want to talk about all that. However, talking to the cashier at peak times when there's a lineup isn't necessarily a good idea. And I think it was the cashier's fault for not hurrying them along.
Right. So what are we telling the comic shop employees listening? You know, you are in charge. You move that line along. You be aware of the
yes.
people in line and
be
courteous.
Be aware.
And two is hey, Joe,
yeah.
at the counter, you know, be courteous to the people behind
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Right? That's right. Yeah. I can understand the customer not knowing any better because they just want to go out and talk and have a good time. And really, they're not going to lose anything by talking. However, the cashier and the business ultimately could lose business, right?
Right.
So yeah. I think it's a good idea for the cashier to kind of just move things along a little bit, and just sort of see how things are going, and then because they can manipulate. You can say, hey, let me just move your stuff over here. I'll be right with you and we can talk, or, I just want to look after this guy right behind you or whatever it happens to be, right?
Good call, Chris. Yeah. Hey, you know what? You could write like a comic shop etiquette book.
Almost. Right. I have been in retail a long time.
I could tell.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got one. Of the dozens of emails that we got going.
Dozens
of emails.
Right.
We're just going to choose one more here. And Chloe in Cleveland asks, I bought a comic on eBay from my boyfriend, and he loved it, but when he read it, he found out that there were pages missing. Are comics worth anything with missing pages?
Depends. I'll answer that one being the retail, the old comic guy here.
So that's your answer. Depends.
It depends.
Generally
speaking,
that.
No.
Okay.
Especially for the boyfriend's purposes, who looks like he just wanted to read this.
Right.
Oh, thanks, honey.
Right.
No, he
right.
reads
right.
it and he can't read the
right.
stupid thing because yeah. it's missing the pages. To him, it's not worth anything.
Right.
Right. But as an aside, there are this summer it was idiotic. There were single pages from Action Comics #1. Just single pages. So it's missing 99%
right.
of the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were getting like thousands of dollars just for the leaves. Right?
Well, I guess the idea there is, an Action Comics #1, even in like poor.
Yeah, it goes for $80,000.
Right. So, right? You get one page, well, that could be worth
$10,000. Yeah.
If you get like a cover or something.
Right. Yeah. So, but generally speaking, no. The thing is, if you're buying old comics, Chris, especially back from the 60s and the 70s, you're getting a lot of those ads that the kids replied to. I remember Marvel did those coupons.
Right.
Clip them and collect
right.
them.
Yes, yes.
And that the whole page may not be missing there, but
a portion
of the page
for an instance, and that's a good point. So let's say not the whole page is missing, but let's say there's like a cutout. So it's like, it's got something clipped out.
Yeah.
Does
like the ad to How to Hypnotize Girls.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's cut out.
X-ray specs.
Right, X-ray specs
something.
That's it makes the comic way, way, way less valuable.
Okay, but is it still worth something?
It is still worth something depending on the value of the book. So if it was a $100 comic before, it may be a $10 or $15
okay,
comic.
Okay, so
now,
it's like
not
way
worth
less.
Less.
It's
yeah,
like way,
it's way,
way
less.
Right.
But if it was a $5 comic before, it's really
like
a $1
yeah.
comic now
yeah.
just to read. But the thing is there were a lot of ads that people cut out that the stories were still complete.
Right.
So for buddy here, for boyfriend here, it's too bad that the page that was cut out wasn't a story page. Like I'm sure it was cut out for an ad, or it may have been an action scene that maybe Kirby drew or something
right,
that the guy
right,
really
right,
liked
right.
and put it
yeah,
up on his
yeah.
wall or
yep,
something
yep,
like that.
For sure.
And that's the problem there is it affected the reading of the story. Sometimes ad pages can be cut out. It doesn't affect the reading of the story. And people that want to read the story, that's perfect for them because
yeah.
they can pick a $5 book for $5 that they
right.
would have normally
right.
had to pay
yeah.
50 for.
Perfect. Yeah.
General rule of thumb, if you're looking at a 12-cent or 15-cent or 20-cent comic, don't count the covers, but count 8 pages to the center.
Oh, okay. So you're not counting the actual cover itself?
Yeah, not counting the glossy covers, right. Counting actual comic pages. 8 pages now, to the center, staple, and then 8 pages
to the
front. When
you say pages, you mean like the leaf, right? Like, you know, it's not like you turn one page and then turn it over and that's the second page.
Eight leaves. Like 1, 2 is
one, two is one leaf.
Yeah,
so
3, 4 is another leaf.
Yeah, okay,
And then you get 8 of those, and then you should see staples.
Right.
And then
eight more.
Eight more. Right. The price guide and comics.org will have page counts for books, too. So if you're on eBay and you're not sure, there are resources you can use.
Now, that's interesting. Now, does the Overstreet Price Guide do that for every comic?
No, it doesn't. But it will tell you if it went up to a 52-pager and that kind of stuff. So it gives you a good amount of information, but not.
I was going to say, because that might be difficult to do for every comic that's out there now, right?
But like comics.org is pretty good. It will kind of take you through
the book. Very interesting, very interesting. All right. Well, that brings us to industry news.
Yes, it
industry
does.
News. Industry news is brought to you by the Central City Animal Shelter for Super Pets. Whether it's a flying cat or a teleporting dog, why not give a super-powered friend a new home today?
Yeah. You know, those super pets, they're usually smarter than the people.
Yeah, I know. Okay, here's a quick question for you. Name 5 super pets of any kind.
Chris. What you have is a Crypto.
Yeah, that's good.
Then you have Lockjaw.
Yeah. Okay, I'll count that. He was actually a human turned into a dog, but sure, I'll count that.
Okay, then you have
Beppo.
Babu.
Who's Babu?
Gazoo. Oh, he's an alien. I don't know anymore.
Wasn't it Beppo the super monkey?
I don't know that.
And then there was Streaky the Wonder Cat.
Yes.
And then wasn't there also wasn't it Lightning the horse, the Wonder Horse, the Super Horse?
Right, yeah, Lightning the Super Horse.
And then you've got I'm going to say Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon.
I don't think he's actually a pet, but there was a comic called Rocket Raccoon.
It reminds me of the joke. Sorry, I'm just going to get off topic here. Of the two newfies walking down the street, I bet you can't name 5 animals in the forest. They're actually walking through the forest, actually. He goes, sure I can. He goes, oh, yeah, let me hear it. The bear, a lion, a fox, and 2 rabbits. There you go. Anyway.
Good point. All right. Let's keep on moving on here.
All right, let's move on. Let's move to industry news, Chris.
Yes.
Last week we talked about DC bragging about a 6% drop in their number 2 sales versus their number 1 sales, and they're talking about how that's unheard of in the industry for comic books, that the number 2s only dropped off 6% from number 1s.
Right.
You and I kind of bit into that vein, that DC press release. We bit like
yeah,
bit
we,
like
we took
guppies.
A big chunk off of it.
You know,
because we thought it was amazing.
We were
suckers. Great. Yeah, we were
Now there's emails from retailers filtering into the websites that were covering the story saying, hey guys, don't get fooled by this.
Right.
This is returnability. We're not moving 94% of the number ones here at these stores. We're moving 70%.
Right.
Wait till next month. Wait till returnability hits when I have to send back 25% of my order. Then see DC adjust their numbers.
Right. Now, so just for our listeners' sake, so you're saying that comic book retailers for this particular – I would imagine now, as far as I know, most comics aren't returnable. So if the retailer orders 10, they got to sell 10. They got to pay for 10.
Right.
Whereas now they're saying for the DC New 52, there's a certain amount of returnability allowed. So if you order 10 and 3 don't sell, you can send back 3.
You can send them back.
Right. Okay. So now what you're saying – is that the returnability factor hasn't come in yet.
No.
So that 6%, it may have been a 6% based on orders.
Based on orders.
Right.
That's exactly
what
it is.
But we don't know how many are actually selling in the retail marketplace.
Right. And we're getting information. And the information is varying from store to store.
Right.
So that's not saying that some stores aren't doing. Now, I know, for example, our shop is – the number 2s probably aren't doing as well. I know they're not doing as well as the number 1s. I don't have a number. I'm going to say it's probably not 94% of the numbers.
Right.
But, I'm not saying it's 70 either, like some of the guys are saying. So it's going to vary from shop to shop, from region to region, from, you know, just the retail, just the customer base to customer base. But these guys are right. We jumped the gun a little bit. DC's number 2s are selling well. Well, what we shouldn't forget here, I think, what we shouldn't forget at all is that this DC New 52 is a really big boon for the whole comic book
industry. Right. We've talked about that before.
So let's not forget that. Let's be thankful for what DC did and for the interest that they're generating with this whole big new project and stuff like that. But let's also not, though, paint everything so rosy that any kind of press release that they're giving out that we should kind of dissect a little bit more than you and I did last week.
So. Right. Now just still on the same vein here, I'm curious to know. I mean, again, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but do you think that now what are your sales like for the reprints of the number ones and the number twos and all that kind of stuff? Like, is it still selling well, or could you have sold more number ones, but now people are like, I don't want the reprint,
Yeah, that's going to depend comic shop to comic shop. Some guys that guessed right on the initial number ones didn't need as many reprints. Some guys that, got 10, detective number ones and pre-sold 100 are selling reprints like crazy because of the pent-up demand.
Right,
so that
right.
just varies on what was ordered initially. The point here is, these things don't happen at once. Like this new great thing that happened with DC, the demand isn't being satisfied in one weekend. So everybody that's interested in this isn't coming in a 3-week period.
Right.
But what I mean by that is number ones are still selling now.
Right.
There are still guys that are going, I've been reading about this for 2 months. I got to come in and try it. Not necessarily everybody that will be brought back by the new 52 has been brought back already. So, I'm encouraging, as a retailer, I'm encouraging the people that are going to do returns to maybe think through, make sure you have some for people that are scragglers that are coming in a month or 2 or 3 months after the fact. Like, don't say, I'm going to return now and have just 3 copies of number 2 left number 3 left. Because, buddy, come January, you'll probably be reordering them.
And, I'm curious already to see how well the trade paperbacks are going to sell, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who have already missed the boat on trying to get first printings of number 1s and number 2s. And, even though they wanted to read them, they're like, I'm just going to wait for the trade to see how it is in there, and I'll wait for all 6 first issues to come out or something like that, the first 6 issues to come out.
Right, yeah. Well, but, again, just the last point on that story is the new 52 from DC is a good thing for comics. It's a good thing for comic book shops.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right.
Chris, you saw this. You actually pointed it out to me.
This is kind of crazy. So this is a new Marvel collectible game. I don't know. Do you remember, like, years ago, there's been so many different types of collectible games over the years, and Marvel has been part of some of those as well.
And they've all flopped.
Yeah. Their best and biggest one was probably, I shouldn't say as collectible games. They had Overpower, which was like a card game.
Yeah.
And so you had to try to collect all your favorite heroes. And
it was a collectible card game.
It was a collectible card game. And then, of course, they came out with, HeroClix was extremely popular. That lasted a long time. There's HeroClix tournaments all over the place. But that seems to have pretty well died off as well.
Well, it's still kind of
Around a little bit for the diehards. But, of course, not to be outdone by any other game out there right now, Marvel has a new collectible game. But this just seems kind of silly.
Right.
Now, it's called Slingers.
Slingers.
Now, let's not forget that Marvel actually had a miniseries called Slingers at one time. A comic book called Slingers.
Right. I remember
it was
that,
based on a number of different sort of like Spider-Man type characters, right?
Right, right.
So anyway, Marvel has Slingers coming out, and so from the way I can, I'm not going to read you everything here, but it looks to me like there's sort of like this mat that, you've got this mat and you've got these characters and you've got this yo-yo type looking thing on a string. And the idea is that you have to kind of yo-yo it down, or yo-yo this contraption down onto this mat, and there's like different pieces, and you have to try to pick up these pieces with this yo-yo type thing that you're kind of like whiplashing down towards the ground.
Right.
So hold on. So, I'm going to read you what it says, because I probably did a terrible job of explaining
that. Go ahead.
It says, this game features a slinger, which works somewhat like a yo-yo with a patented retractable mechanism and apparently it comes with an invisible energy shield.
Wow.
Quote unquote, that allows players to pick up collectible medallions, which will feature Marvel characters. If players sling too hard, the slinger will hit the ground, for which the device will deduct points and potentially lives from the player. Wow. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
If they sling too soft, they won't be able to pick up the medallions.
Wow. So it sounds to me like it's like you have to have kind of some sort of skill.
Yeah, you have right? to have some skill. For, well,
so what if like what if the kid's a spaz? Really? What
if, well, okay, hold on. Let's not go there. But let's say what if they're not very coordinated? Let's
oh,
not
that's
say,
the word.
Yeah,
I
let's
yeah,
not say spaz.
Right.
You know,
right,
you know
okay.
we might offend somebody there. All so right. so let's say that let's say they're not coordinated.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
So, I apologize. I just realized I made a mistake.
That's all right.
All right.
Let's say they're not very coordinated. Let's say they're not very you know coordinated in that regard.
And their motor functions.
Their motor functions aren't as good.
As, say the person they're playing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So you know, all of a sudden they're slinging this thing down.
It's not working.
It's not working.
They're whipping it again through the window.
You know what?
They're getting pissed off.
This just all of a sudden this becomes a weapon. Really?
Yeah, really. Like, yeah.
It's gonna start slinging it at your neighbors.
Stupid flipping
yeah.
slinging.
It sounds terrible, and you know what? Of course, now not only is it you know a weird game, but now there's a collectability to it, right?
Really?
So now you got to keep on buying packs of these so-called medallions
oh,
to try
okay.
to you know get
right.
the rare Wolverine or rare
wow,
whatever, right?
right?
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, this sounds pretty terrible all around.
Okay,
I mean, that's
so,
just my opinion.
Hey, listen,
it could be great,
just in time for Christmas.
Well, yes, that's yeah. true. You know, and you know what? Who knows what I know? I mean, maybe this is going to be something that all the kids are going to want.
Okay, good. All right, so pick up your slingers at
slingers,
your local comic
slingers,
book shops
yes.
Before Christmas. Check your local comic book shop,
yes.
please, before you go to the big box stores.
All right.
All right. Chris, well, what else we have? Oh, look at this news. Doctor Who movie gets director.
Yeah, this is great. I'm actually excited about this. I'm not a huge fan of Doctor Who, but you know what? I do admire it. I think it's you know, it's lasted for like 40 years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, clearly they must be doing something right. Much longer than 40 years, but because it started in the 60s, if not
right.
in the, you know. But anyway, so it's been around for a long time, huge fan following. And so the Doctor Who movie is going to get a director, and it's none other than David Yates, who has directed the last four Harry Potter movies.
Wow, that's power. That's
a lot of
yeah,
power there.
Yeah,
that's
right
the,
there.
You know, clearly they've done very well. And they're going to spend some time on this.
Yeah, I'm reading here. He told Variety, "We're going to spend 2 or 3 years to get this right."
Yeah, which is great. And you know, they're even trying to get Neil Gaiman, who's a famed comic book writer of the Sandman series,
yeah.
and he's written a number of movie scripts and things like that. And it seems like they're also. What did I just read here? Hold on a second. It was going to take 2 to 3 years to get the thing going, and they're not going to necessarily tie it directly to the TV series, which I think is good because that mm-hmm. way they can get new fans and people who don't necessarily know much about it will come on and try to jump on board.
Well, you know what I say.
What do you say?
Pip, pip.
I say, you know what? This just reeks of getting our buddy Danny Champion
yes.
in London. To,
well,
to,
he is our intrepid reporter
absolutely.
From across
absolutely.
The pond.
And we have to get him to start doing a little bit more notes on this to see if he can find anything
else. Well, he's got to get the inside scoops for us. I say, old chap, that's not just cricket.
Pip, pip.
Pip, pip.
Cheerio.
Hi-ho. You know, this news, Chris, is smashing.
Smashing.
Yes,
smashing good fun.
Yes, it's not rubbish. Or, you know, and if Mr. Champion ain't going to be a wanker,
right.
you better get on the case.
Absolutely,
right.
absolutely.
So,
right.
Anyways, good news for Doctor Who fans. And we're going to, I think Chris is signaling me to segue into some music.
Yes, we're going to go, we're going to make this a Spidey Day today. This is the Spidey Day. This one's called The End of Skymaster. As soon as it comes on here, hold on. There you go.
Thank you.
baby, swing, baby, swing.
This just reeks of like 1960s swinging music,
yes,
eh?
Yeah, yes. Sky Master, come to me, Sky Master. Chris, our next segment is brought to you by the $2 bins.
Oh, that's nice.
Why not dig for treasure today? And of course, $2 bins, $1.99 bins, 99 cent bins are all over North America at your local comic book shop.
Now, unfortunately, Walt, you and I are old enough to remember the 25 cent bins.
Yes, we are.
Back when they used to be 25, you know, you could go and root around for 25 cent comics and bring home a pile. And then now, unfortunately, it's the.
Yeah, but listen, even reading a nice comic for, if you know, you have 99 cent bins or $1.99 bins, so there's some great comic reads out there.
Yep.
And, you know, throwing a toonie somebody's way is okay.
That's right. That's right. I agree.
I'm reading this story, Chris, and I was very excited and kind of, I don't know what the word was, maybe not excited, but...
Perturbed? Interested?
Brian. So, you know, this Occupy movement.
Yeah, so there's Occupy movements going on all
everywhere.
Over the world,
right?
Yeah.
So, there's one in New York, I guess, Occupy Wall Street.
Well, that was I think it was the big one, wasn't it?
Yeah. And our friend, Mr. Frank Miller, of course, of Daredevil, 300,
Batman,
City fame, Batman fame, he called out these protesters. He, you know, he said enough is enough. He basically, so I'm gonna read. He did a post. He called it anarchy, and it reads like this. I'll just quickly read a bit. Everybody's been too damn polite about this nonsense. These guys are a pack of louts, thieves, rapists. You know, I think he meant therapists.
Right. I hope so. Yeah.
Unruly mob, clowns, pawn scum, losers. You know, and he urges the protesters to go back to their mom's basement and play with their Lords of Warcraft. See, right away, I mean, it's World of Warhammer, not Lords of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay. I got it wrong.
But whatever, you know, it's okay.
You know, he obviously is perturbed to the point where he's getting his pop culture wrong.
Right, right. Yes.
So Frank is mad.
He seems to be mad about something. Yeah.
But then the backlash against him was even worse, more madder. They are these people that are occupying Wall Street and saying, how dare him say that we, you know, are wiggly worms and are whale blubber. How dare him call us those names?
Right.
You know what? We're not going to go buy his graphic novels anymore. So now there's like an anti-Miller backlash.
Problem there is, I'm sure he doesn't care.
Right.
Because really, like, I mean, those graphic novels that have already come out, I don't know. I would imagine he's not making a whole lot of royalties on them anymore. And if he is, I'm sure it's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so maybe somebody might not go out and buy Holy Terror. Well, big news there.
Whoa.
Hardly anybody's buying it anyways. Yeah.
Now, there is a Kickstarter project that happened that is actually going to try to turn this Occupy movement into a comic book.
Wow.
So, yeah. Wow. So this guy named Matt Pizzolo. He has a comic studio called Halo 8.
Okay.
He aims to publish a hardcover anthology titled Occupy Comics, Arts and Stories Inspired by Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's we were talking about it before, and it apparently has some pretty big names attached to it. Ben Temple-Smith and Tim Seeley, Steve Niles, Joseph Michael Linsner, James DeMatteis, Charlie Adlard, and a bunch of others, apparently.
Yeah, I think I heard they're trying to get Frank Miller on the project, too.
I've heard that, yeah. You know who'd be really good for that?
Yeah,
Frank Miller.
Yes, sorry.
Oh,
anyway, listen, I mean, what do you do there? I think maybe. I'm thinking Frank tried to go to a meeting.
Maybe.
These guys are on a wall. You know, he just flipped his lid and he went online and stuff like that. I mean, you know, everybody has, I guess, a right to lawfully protest whatever they feel. Some sort of inadequacy, and these guys are expressing their, you know, law-given right to
gather. But he's right. I mean, he did call it anarchy, and it is kind of anarchy because that's when there are no laws, and these people aren't obeying any laws anymore, right? So,
I think they were. I think while they were there, they were obeying the laws of, you know, protest. I guess they had Chris, I think they had the right from the city of New York gather there and to carry their signs and shout their slogans and stuff like that. So anyway, I mean, I hope everybody settles down.
Right.
I hope these guys do make a comic book on it.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
I hope Frank participates. I honestly do. That would be cool.
That would be interesting. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah. All right.
Anyway,
let's
anyway,
keep going.
So yeah, let's love your brother, please.
Everybody love your brother.
Yeah, okay, Chris, let's switch over to what I don't know whether this is good or bad, but
digital stuff, right?
Yeah, the digital stuff. Marvel going polybagging their whole Ultimate line all the time. I don't know if they're polybagging it or not, but they're and all their Ultimate lines starting in January,
right.
Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, Ultimate Comics Ultimates, Ultimate Comics X-Men. They are putting in those, what is it, those codes?
A code, yeah, a code that can be redeemed for the Marvel apps. So it'll be inside each polybagged version of the comic.
So what do you get with this code?
So
you get access to the digital version of that comic?
Yes. You're going to get the digital a free digital copy of the comic.
Right.
As well, so you can read it online or in the actual comic that you just bought.
That's the part I don't get.
So you can either read the one you just bought or you can take that code, put it into your computer, wait for everything to download, and then read it. Or you can just read the one you just
got. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't get that.
Well,
maybe it's Marvel trying to get people used to the downloadable version.
It could be that, right. Or it could be, hey, you know what? If you don't want to get your thumbprints all over your new copy of comics,
right?
You know, you can.
Hey, adds a whole new meaning to one to keep, one to read,
one to keep. That's right.
Right.
Yeah, one.
Well, and you know what? Marvel also announced that they're doing the same thing for their new line, season one graphic novels coming out. I believe in January as well.
Right. So, but you know what? I hate to say it, but this just it begins to reek again of the early '90s, you know, polybagging, shrink wrapped, foil embossed, die cut.
Okay,
know,
but
covers.
Now there's a reason. There's a legitimate reason now to polybag.
Well, there was a legitimate reason before. It had something special inside that you didn't want to fall out. Right.
Oh, good point.
You know, so it was there was a reason before. It's the same reason, except now it's you just can't peruse the comic book. So maybe as a shop owner, you're going to have to open up a single copy of all those so people can flip through it and see what they're like. How do you feel about that?
This is what I'm going to do.
And wait, what are you going to do?
This is going to go viral.
Okay, here we go.
This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to open them all up. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say, have a sign there saying, hey, you have to buy it. Don't peruse through it now.
Right.
And you know, and then I'm going to have like secretly film how people get the code onto a piece of paper.
Oh,
so
right.
They're going to kind of maneuver behind the G.I. Joe toys.
Yeah.
And they're going to get their iPhone
right.
And take pictures of it.
Right, right,
or
right.
Some guy's going to, you know, take a pen and write it
yep.
on his pants.
Yes.
You know, and all the kind of little maneuvering and eye shifting to try to get
like
this little code.
I like that.
Yeah. And then I'm going to post all of them on YouTube.
You see, here I like that idea, but here I thought you were going to be kind of like forward thinking and you're going to say like, here, I'm going to go get an iPad and you're going to stick it on the comic shelf and you're going to download your own digital copy. People can peruse it.
No.
And then you're going to have all the comics behind the counter. And
right.
Hey, you want to read this comic? Here, you can peruse it first.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Mine was more like vindictive and spiteful,
right?
And that's the way I was going. All right. So I'm not sure. I mean, like Marvel, I'm reading from Marvel saying they're also going to go the other way with the program. They're going to distribute coupons for print copies with digital purchases too.
Right.
So if a guy's at home and he's downloading something, they'll immediately generate a coupon for him to go to his local comic book shop and, I don't know, redeem it for something. And then
save 10
I guess,
cents on every comic.
Well, maybe it's even a free comic that then Marvel credits the
right.
shop
oh,
for
I see
or something
saying.
Like
yeah, yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
know.
Well,
you know
maybe,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Anyway, what I'm reading in on all this is the
Marvel.
Yeah, they're trying to get this online thing going. All these big companies, DC, Marvel, IDW, you name it,
yeah.
They've all invested so heavily into this online thing. They all believe what do you call those things that run off the cliff together?
Lemmings,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're all making a mad dash toward the digital download. And I don't know yet if the response is what
well,
they
yeah,
want.
But at least they're trying, right? At least they're trying because they're seeing that this could possibly be the way of the future.
But will it be is my point. Well, that's my point I'm getting to there. They're just pushing and pushing,
well,
but they're not getting the results they want. They're trying new things.
With the advent of iPads and all that, it seems like there is...
It's just a matter of time?
I don't know if it's just a matter of time, but I think there's going to be a market share that has still yet to be tapped for the younger generation who are used to using iPads and all this new technology, right? I don't know if it's going to change the number of buyers in your brick-and-mortar store. However, I think there's the generation of people out there who will only do stuff online, who will only read that stuff
online.
Fair enough. All right, well, let's keep going.
Chris, boy, I read this and I'm going, wow. See, this is like reading this was like I had to read it because when I saw the headlines, it's like when you're driving down the highway and you see a crash.
Yeah.
You have to kind of slow down and look. Yeah, even you know you shouldn't.
Absolutely, yes. Right. This is definitely a crash waiting to happen.
So, Witchblade and Red Sonja crossover.
Yeah, this sounds. Witchblade, in case you didn't hear that, Witchblade and Red Sonja crossover.
Yes.
So it's really going to be the fight about who's wearing less clothing.
Yeah, who has bigger bosoms.
Yeah, well, that too. Yes, right. Absolutely. You know, so Witchblade is you know, this femme fatale type, you know, character in the Image universe, or at least she was in the, sorry, Top Cow, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, Top Cow universe. And Red Sonja is now part of the Dynamite Entertainment universe.
Dynamite!
And apparently they're going to appear together in an intercompany crossover comic. You know, I don't know what...
Called Witchblade / Red Sonja.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about this.
I don't know either. Except I want a copy.
I don't really understand how it's going to happen. There must be some sort of time travel involved because Red Sonja is in like she's part of that whole like
the
you know
Hyberian age,
yeah, Conan type yeah. thing. And Sarah Pazzini is like a New York police detective,
right?
So
right. Now, what are they thinking? Now, are they thinking? Okay, this is you know. Are they the same readers or are they different readers that they're trying to cross over?
I'm pretty sure they're the same readers.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So what good is it? I mean, if it was different readers, they're introducing different things, but this is TNA with TNA.
I don't know if it's the exact same readers, but the same type of reader.
Right, the TNA reader.
Yeah, so maybe you're reading Red Sonja, but not Witchblade, and this is your way to try to get people to start reading Witchblade.
Okay, or if you're reading Witchblade, but not Red Sonja, you're going, wow!
Wow,
bosom's like the other ones, but it's in chainmail.
Wow, Red Sonja has red hair.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that in comics.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so please go out to your local comic shop and pre-order Witchblade and Red Sonja.
Right.
All right. Oh, Chris, some sad news.
Sad
you
news.
On
you
to
know
me
what?
Earlier.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually been a big fan of Family Circus for a number of years, and it's sad to hear that Bill Keen died on November 8th, especially also because that was my birthday.
Oh.
So here is, you know, I have numbers of his books still stashed away at home. So the creator of Family Circus passed away. You know, there was a number of jokes around it. I'm not going to say any of them because, you know, I think it's sad that he passed away. He was really a pioneer in the cartooning industry in 1960 when he started Family Circus.
He was 89 years old.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, love him or hate him, everybody knows who the Family Circus is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because everybody knows about the little Billy's, you know, a little dotted line.
How he got home.
Yeah. And he stopped and petted a dog. Or,
right.
You know, jumped
climbed
over
a tree.
Yeah. Or all that
went
stuff.
Through the hedges.
Yeah. Love him or hate him, everybody knows that particular comic strip. So you know what? Clearly, he made an impact on the comics and sequential art scene, and sad to see him go.
Yeah, and you are right, though. I read the Saturday Funnies every week.
Yeah,
and I cannot not read Family Circus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I know it was. It was taken over a while ago by his son Jeff Keen, who you know, and I don't know if it's still going to continue on as the Family Circus with Jeff Keen or not, but sad to see him go nonetheless.
All right. All right, Chris, let's move on to you know what? We haven't covered this story for months.
Yeah, this is interesting. We haven't talked about this in a long time.
Yeah, and that's, of course, Spider-Man musical.
Yeah, so Turn Off the Dark.
Yeah.
Of course, we talked about it ad nauseum for a long time.
We never got tickets,
did get tickets. And
no.
I think, you know, I'm a little bit perturbed about that. I think we deserve tickets.
Yes, we do.
The number of times we talked about it on the air, because really, there is no such thing as bad press. Right?
Absolutely so, not. And I read, before we get into this story, I read that... it's actually making money.
Yeah, I believe that.
I'm convinced that it was, you know, in small part to us.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely.
So,
yes.
So you know, we'll take. You know, we wanted to go to the premiere. We didn't, but we'll take anything.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. I think here's the thing. If the city of New York gave us tickets to go see this,
mm-hmm.
we would go down there and spend our money in the city of New York.
New York.
What better ploy?
Yes.
Did you get tourist money? Here's a couple of $50 tickets.
Yep.
It means we're going to have to spend hundreds to go there and stay there.
$50 tickets, Chris. What do you want, wait in the back door?
Hey, you know, if...
You can watch from the kitchen for $50.
Watch on a movie on a screen. Closed caption screen in the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, I would go.
Yeah, you know what? I would go too.
Yeah. So anyway, the story is that there's a lawsuit.
Yes. Julie Taymor, who was the former director, she is suing for $500,000 in royalties because she's saying that they are utilizing some of the innovations that she used and stuff like that. They're, you know, she, you know, and then, of course, the producers of the company saying, yeah, we paid her for that. Sorry.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right.
So she looks like she – what it smells like to me, Chris, is that she
–
smells. She never thought it would go
take
anywhere
off, yeah.
because it was just such a mess.
Yeah,
that she
and
was
now
involved
that,
in
now
it.
That it
not
has.
That, not that she was the cause of the mess,
no, no.
but it was.
Yeah.
And then she took what they gave her and got out.
Yeah.
And it struggled through and it made it, but there's such pent up demand to see a stupid Spider-Man play.
yeah.
And it's making good money now.
Yeah,
and she's going, damn, I should have got more.
Yeah, you know?
I think that's maybe where this
you
is
know what? Sour grapes.
Sour grapes
is what all that is.
Sour grapes. Spider-Man play.
Spider-Man musical.
You know what? Here's the thing. Broadway, right?
Yeah.
Musicals.
Yeah.
Plays.
Yeah.
In the old days, when you really think about it, how far we've come, the play, the theater.
The theater.
I say.
The play's the thing.
The theater.
Yeah. All the world's a stage.
Yes.
And we're merely players.
That was the domain of the higher class.
Right.
If you didn't have money, if you were middle class, going to a play was that night that you acted like being
right,
a higher
right,
class.
Right, yes.
If you're going to go see Les Miserables,
yep.
you know, with the
yep.
wife or something like that, you're going to get all decked out.
Yeah.
You're going to, and then you feel good the next day. Yeah, you know, I went
yeah.
to a play.
Well, then
I
you can talk about, oh, how did you like Les Mis?
Yes.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Tragic and
yes.
yet full of pathos. You
well,
know?
But,
and yet, now it's like, I went to go see Spider-Man.
Yeah, I went to
play.
Go see Spider-Man last night.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about that is that you still need to be somewhat wealthy to afford the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
because they're still expensive.
Yeah. And you're right, though. Now it's like, this is a bad, bad word I'm using, but it's almost like the theater has been dumbed down a bit.
Well, yeah, you're right.
All right.
Okay, so let's Stan Lee has been honored once again by the Producers Guild of America.
Stan Lee? Our Stan Lee.
This is Stan Lee. Excelsior.
So what they give him an honor for this time?
Okay, well, it's the Vanguard Award, which recognizes achievements in new media and technology.
Hold on.
So the Producers Guild of America, so for producers of movies and things like that, is giving him an achievement of new media and technology.
So what, like internet and
internet,
online?
Yeah. Apparently he developed the internet. This is Stan Lee. I created the internet.
So hold on. So Stan Lee has again convinced somebody that he created something. I take that
so,
back.
Okay,
Stan,
no,
of course, created
all kinds of things.
Right,
yeah. But he's joining a list.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure that he created. I'm not sure that he's a forerunner of the of new media.
I don't. Yeah. See, this is the problem. Yes. Granted. Okay. So. There's a line here that's saying that he has not only created content that will forever be in our culture, true. Right?
Yes,
okay,
very true.
That quote unquote, that part is true.
Yes.
But then the next part of it says, but he continues to make strides into digital and new media realms, keeping the comic book industry fresh and exciting.
Yeah, that's the part I'm not 100%
so
convinced
sure
of,
about
right.
that.
Now, you know what? I could agree with him on one point here.
Listen,
I think Stan believes in it, and he's letting these younger companies and say, yeah, use my name, maybe, or something like
that. But let's not forget that Stan Lee was suing Stan Lee Media, remember, not too long ago.
Yeah, that was weird.
So I don't know how much involvement he still has with new media.
Right. Yeah, you know what? You're right. This is a weird story.
Yeah, it's a weird story. I'd love to hear more about it.
So Stan can drop us a line.
He's more than welcome to be on the show anytime he wants.
Yeah, we'd like to, Stan, we'd like to talk to you about your Producers Guild Awards, so please contact Anthony Falcone, our producer.
Yes, yes.
All right.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today, Walt.
All right, Chris. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone, that Stan will contact, and it's engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll down to the comments field, and add your comments. And please also listen to us on getthepointradio.com.
And remember, names... is for what? Names is for tombstones, baby. I don't even understand that. Anyways, go and enjoy yourself and have yourself a wonderful day.
And please support your local comic book shops.